The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't want it, you don't need it, but you're gonna get it anyway. The Kevin Sheehan Show. Here's Kevin.
One guest on the show today, Doc Walker, will be on with me for at least a segment. Who knows, maybe two. Doc coming up on the show. A show today presented by my good friends at MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.com, MyBookie.ag. Use my promo code KevinDC to secure a first deposit bonus of up to $1,000. I've talked about all of the NFL prop bets for the upcoming season. They've got all of the week one lines. Well, all of the college football stuff is up. Remember, we are here at the beginning of August, the first month of football. Some of it fake, as in preseason NFL, and some of it real, as in the beginning of college football season. And they've got all of the week zero and week one lines right now. Week zero is that week before Labor Day, where you get a few games. This year, Notre Dame and Navy will play a game from Ireland, and the Fighting Irish are 20-point favorites over Navy in that first weekend. That's a Saturday, August 26th. We will get real football for the first time, college football style. We'll get Caleb Williams, by the way, in a game on that first weekend, weekend zero. USC a 30-point favorite over San Jose State in week zero. Then week one starts with Thursday night games and the biggest game maybe of the weekend, and it's not a great week one of college football, is that rematch from one of the games of the year last year in week one, and that was Florida and Utah. This one's going to be played out in Utah, and the Utes are 8-point favorites against Florida without Anthony Richardson. So all of the football is up at MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.com, MyBookie.ag. Use my promo code KevinDC to secure a first deposit bonus of up to $1,000. So today was the first day of padded practices out in Ashburn. Ben Standig was on with me, and we'll find out what Doc thought. Ben thought that the offense looked a little bit rusty. Look, there's a new offensive system being installed here, and it would be a little bit unrealistic to think that they're going to be running smoothly here in the first week. New system and a quarterback without any experience. Speaking of that quarterback, I talked a lot about Sam Howell at the beginning of the show yesterday. And that was before I had heard what Terry McLaurin said about him. I had mentioned yesterday that I went back and watched the Dallas game, knowing that, you know, when I did watch the Dallas game in real time, I wasn't paying that much attention to it. I was, because Sam Howell was playing in the game and I wanted to see what he looked like. That was the only thing attractive about that meaningless season finale. But, you know, it was not a game in which a lot of you, some of you have definitive opinions about Sam Howell, but it's not a game that a lot of you really were, you know, knee deep into. And I guarantee you many of you haven't gone back and looked at it. You're just going based off of the memories of watching it simultaneously with a lot of, you know, other games that were going on that meant more to the NFL playoff picture. But I went back and watched every Sam Howell throw and every Sam Howell run. And I talked about it on yesterday's podcast. And I said, look, what's really obvious is he's got big-time arm strength. He throws a deep ball with really good touch. He's got quick release. You know, the accuracy is a TBD-er, and the decision-making is a big TBD. And then I talked about his mobility that, you know, he didn't strike me maybe as athletic as I thought he was from the Carolina days. He's still mobile. You know, he still can move. He's still going to make plenty of plays off schedule. I'm not concerned about that. But he's not, you know, an elite runner at the position, which is why, by the way, guys that I've had on that were much more familiar with his game at North Carolina didn't think that he was a dual threat kind of a guy, didn't think he was Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts or Justin Fields. And I don't think he is. By the way, I mentioned the comparison to Sam Darnold yesterday. Body type, they are very similar, although Sam Darnold's a little bit bigger. But I think the other part of it was that they both wear number 14. Sometimes when quarterbacks wear the same number and they're kind of at the same build, you immediately think, oh, yeah, he reminds me of that guy. That may be why I mentioned Sam Darnold. But anyway, I wanted to play for you right now a few things that Terry McLaurin said after practice yesterday about Sam Howell, because there is a bit of a theme when it comes to Sam's physical abilities. I put together kind of a collage of some of what Terry said yesterday after practice about Sam Howell. Here it is.
One thing about him, he's not afraid to throw the ball down the field, which is exciting. And he's going to give guys a chance to make a play down the field, and he throws a really nice deep ball. So with this being a passing league, you still got to stay aggressive. It's really cool to see a young guy who's not afraid to continue to give his guys catches or guys opportunities down the field. I think one thing that strikes me with him is we have a nuanced connection. Even with Dayami, he just has a good feel of throwing the ball down the field. And we really don't have to talk about landmarks and putting air under the ball. He just has a really good feel of throwing the ball down the field. And that's a strength of my game. I know that's a strength of a lot of our receivers' game. And I think that's something that we're looking forward to being trying to put on the field this year is taking those shots down the field.
You think Terry's impressed with Sam Howell's ability to stretch the field, to get the ball down the field? That was a theme to Terry McLaurin yesterday in his post-practice presser. Look, that's the thing that we can observe. It's really hard, especially in training camp, when they haven't even been in pads until today, to really get worked up about much. Sam Howell in that one game and at Carolina, the thing that you notice, and it really sticks out to me anyway, he's got a gun for an arm, and it's not just drop back and throw it as far as you can. He throws it with great touch as well. And if they can protect and if they can run the football, I think we're going to see something that we haven't seen a lot of the last 2 years, especially when Taylor Heinicke was in the game. And that is a legitimate threat to stretch the field vertically with your quarterback. That will be huge for this offense. I'm excited about that part of it. And we're not going to know anything until we start to see games. But it's pretty apparent that everybody that is around Sam Howell, and it's pretty apparent after watching and rewatching that Dallas game from January, the dude can sling it. And there's a lot more to just being able to sling it. There's a lot of intangible stuff associated with that position, as we know. But I think they're going to be able to stretch the field in this upcoming season. Offensive line will have a lot to do with it. Their ability to run the football will have a lot to do with that. And that's what I'm going to get to next. Doc Walker will join me. We'll talk about his observations from training camp so far through, you know, coming up on a week. Remember, the rookies were actually out there this time last week. And we will talk a lot about the defense to start. All of that right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, this segment of the show is brought to you by the Circa Million and the Circa Survivor Pools out in Vegas. I'm going to be in Vegas end of this week on my way to see Christopher Cooley in Wyoming. Doc Walker's with me right now, and I will talk to him about that here in a moment. But the Circa Million and the Circa Survivor Pools out in Vegas have $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Entries are available until September 9th at 2 p.m. The Circa Million, you pick five games against the spread each week. The winner at the end of the year with the best record wins $1 million. But there are another $5 million in guaranteed prizes. The Survivor Pool is like any other Survivor Pool. You pick one team straight up every week, no spread, to win. If that team loses or ties, you're out. But if that pick keeps winning, you could win up to $8 million at the end of the year. You've got to register in person at the Circa Sportsbook in Nevada. Weekly picks can be made through a proxy from anywhere. Doc Walker joins us from Ashburn after the first padded practice of this training camp. We'll get to that in a moment, but I don't know if I told you this. I am going to go out and hang out with Cooley in Wyoming for 2 days, over the weekend and into early next week. Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, you told me. No, just enjoy it, man. What two rich guys? You go play golf. You go hang at the club. You go to a polo deal. I mean, it's not like you guys can't figure out what to do. And mm-hmm. with Cooley, you don't have to do anything to have a good time. So.
You know,
it's a win-win.
You know that there won't be any polo matches. In fact, I don't think I've ever been to a polo match. I haven't.
I know you have.
Anyway, I know you've spent a lot of time out in Middleburg in the Gold Cup and all of those events.
Yeah, I've been to the Gold Cup.
I know you have. You probably emceed it.
And you have, too.
I have been to the Gold Cup. That's true. But it was But you went every year. I went maybe two or three times.
Well, no, I haven't gone every year. But I think it's a hell of an event. Good time.
Yeah.
Just no different than you being at the clubhouse, at the club. I mean, when you're around quality people that have a low level of stress, I mean, you can never go wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's a winning combination. I'm not mad at you.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, that one of the things we are going to do, and it's not going to be any of those, you know, upper crust activities, because that's not who we are. Mm-hmm. That's more who you are. We are going to go fishing, and Cooley will have with him, in the event that we run into a bear, he'll have a pistol with him. This is not your favorite thing. You're not a real outdoors kind of a person. You would not be thrilled seeing a bear out in nature, would you?
And neither would you. Don't try to act like you're Daniel Boone, because you're not. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't mind going anywhere as long as somebody has the proper tools. As you mentioned, AK-47, M-16, whatever.
AK-47. No.
Yeah. Well, you need to have something dealing with a wild animal.
Yeah.
But I won't have that problem because I respect everyone's habitat. Mm-hmm. I have no urge to go in and just bully my way. You guys feel like you can just bully people. You get what you want, do what you want, and everything is supposed to just lie down to you. And I understand that. I wasn't born that privileged. So I don't invade other people's turf. I don't claim everything in the world to be mine. I'm used to sharing.
Have you ever gone camping?
Yes, I have.
And what happened? Was it a bad experience? Because
yes, it was.
What happened?
Because I was not really good at paying attention to directions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went up in this camp, and I wasn't keen on it, but I figured, you know, I've always felt that everything has a place, a time and a place. And so we're up in this deal in a tent. It's pitch black. And I decided to say, man, we're not going to just lie in here, are we? We got to go out and explore. So we got out. And when you see the stars light up, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up sliding us down this embankment and just falling, free fall, sliding though in an embankment, not knowing where you're going to end up, terrified of what was out there. And I just kept saying, if I survive this, you'll never have to worry about me again invading anybody else's territory without an armed guard.
We went about
60. It was a Boy Scout type of thing,
mm-hmm.
where it was all I remember, a bunch of guys who went out. Might have been a religious thing. I don't know what it was.
Was it in California?
Yeah. And I didn't follow instructions. And we got out and tried to explore and hit an embankment, just slid down about 100 feet. It felt like forever.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably, 2 yards, but it was terrifying. And I just kept thinking, hey, man, this ain't for me. And I kept thinking, I'll never again. So that was it.
Right.
And then we were in South Africa for the Mervis Diamond deal that we did. And, I just started thinking, when I realized that the guy driving did not have an automatic weapon. And I said, sir, you're not armed? And he said, no. And I said, if I get back, I'll never go again. And then they were in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You could see them looking at you, the lions. I said, oh, man, no. No, I'm not. No, no, no. So you're an adventurer. So you're a thrill seeker. I'm not. The wildest thing I'm going to do, I've already done it. And that was play football. That's it.
You were shocked that he was not armed, and you're looking at these leopards and they're eyeballing you and everybody. But
you were in a vehicle. We were in a vehicle, but we were not in an ATV or an armed vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a pedestrian, like a tour bus thing,
right?
Rolling through the safari, like the jungle, and I'm looking at leopards. I'm looking. The craziest thing I've ever seen in my life is that. It's just the eyeballs, how they piercing look from a tree, mm-hmm. thinking they can swing or they can get you. And then when I saw the baddest boy is the rhinoceros.
Yeah, well, they're
and the hippopotamus.
Yeah, they're the
and you don't we
dangerous.
Don't learn, we don't grow up thinking that way though.
No.
Boy, you know, big boy can run, big boy. And I just said, you know what? If I get back, and then the monkeys are nasty. They're throwing. You know, feces at you at the hotel, and they're nasty, and they're running around. At night, you can't be outnumbered.
Yeah.
It was just an experience, and I'm glad I survived. And I'm glad all you guys want to go see it. We love you. Go be adventurous.
Well, I mean, Ronnie wasn't going to let anything happen to you. He's been on that trip a bunch of times. And
Ronnie has no control over a wild animal.
That's true.
Okay, so no. It's going to be somebody's going to be the experiment, not me.
Yeah.
I've
never been. I didn't go on that trip. There was one chance I had to go on it, and I couldn't. And I forget what the reasons were.
You were in London, if I recall. You weren't in bed.
I would like to go on that trip, but.
It was a great trip.
I had a friend of mine discuss one of those safaris, and they were staying in a very nice place where somebody had decided to go out and shower in an outdoor shower at dusk.
And that
is not apparently very bright. That's feeding time, and that person was eaten by a lion. When I heard that story, I thought, this probably isn't for me either. Now, you know, one of the things that's always interested me about you, and a lot of things have interested me about you over the years, is
you like to make fun of me.
This is the time of year where you start to put together your winter survival kit that you have in your car, in the event that you get stranded somewhere in a snow or an ice storm. You're always
but I do. And as a matter of fact, I just left. It's amazing. You know me too well. I got to stop being around you as often as I am. I just left Dulles Electric, and there's a thermos. There's a. It's almost like a bike pack, but on wheels, a major thermos survival type kit on wheels. That I would keep permanently in the car. Because in the summer, refrigeration, you get some things, and I might find a deal on some produce or whatever. Can't put it in your car when your car is 100 degrees, and I'm not going right home.
Right.
I said, I need some refrigeration in my car as a backup. And then I had a vision of it, and I just left the place to see it, and now I've identified what it is. And that'll be all purpose, whether I'm at 4th of July, out on the lawn, at the Kennedy Center, wherever. Now it has electricity. Anything that you can't charge something with now is obsolete. I've got to be able to repower everything I have around me, wherever I'm at.
In your car.
In this device.
Right.
In this cooler.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's state of the art.
But when will you have the entire winter survival kit put together in your vehicle?
Oh, by December. By December.
Oh, okay. By December.
Oh, yeah. By December. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
and
there's nothing. I don't have an automobile that's not all wheel drive.
Right.
I don't buy anything that's not all wheel drive.
Has there ever been a time where you needed the winter survival kit?
Well, only because of severe backup with ice when everybody was kind of stuck, which was the purpose of this. What happens if no accident, but everybody's stuck?
Right.
You can't get off the highway, and you may have to spend 4 or 5 hours in your car.
Right.
Just general practical thinking. Everybody's got to have some type of container that will allow them a chance to not have to smell urine for hours. So
you could get out of the car and walk to the shoulder of the road
okay, now everybody's stranded. You're so used to being driven, you don't understand what
right.
it is to drive places.
I've got a chauffeur.
As a driver, if we're all stuck, just go over where everybody's there. You're in a jam and people are not. I'm just telling you, it's not. Just get you a big gulp cup, and you're good.
Okay.
But you have to think about this. So same thing I tell my kids. What are you going to do if? What happens if? Some people get caught. Most people get caught. Oh, I wish I had a thought of it. I would prefer to be ahead of the game.
No,
I know that bothers you.
No. You're a big-time planner. I just think in the area in which we live, the odds on needing a winter survival kit in a densely populated area where you're pretty much always within walking distance to some food place, some place with a bathroom, some place with shelter, is a little bit much. But you're a planner, and you're from California. I always have to remind myself, you're from Southern California, even though you've been here for much of your adult life. Now, Doug Kammerer was on the podcast with me yesterday, because we were talking about the storm. I had him explain the storm. If you missed that, Doug was great yesterday. But we ended up talking a lot about the upcoming winter. Doug thinks the upcoming winter may be one of the worst, coldest, snowiest winters we've had in a long, long time. So maybe this will be the year in which your winter survival kit will get some usage.
The Dolphins played the Bears. Tell you how long it's been. The Bears were actually in a Super Bowl. The last time we got caught down in Miami.
I remember that.
We couldn't fly back. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, because our better halves had to be in the dark for Kevin Weeks while we suffered through Miami.
Don't you remember who got back, though? Don't you remember who got back?
You did. You went to Richmond.
I did. First of all, so I warned, Glasgow.
Oof. Yeah, your guy.
Your boy. I warned him. I said, look, I'm just going to tell you right now, everybody after their show on Friday should be on the first flight out or they're not getting back until Tuesday. Right. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, this is a big one. This is going to be 2 feet plus of snow.
You were so excited. Yeah.
And they, you know, he ignored me, completely ignored me. And when my show was over, because that's when I was doing the midday show with Tommy, I found a flight to Richmond, and I got back to Richmond, and then I rented a vehicle, and I drove back in a raging blizzard, and I was home. And thank God I got back, because I was the only – Tommy made it back eventually, but without it, we would have had no live shows on Monday after the Super Bowl. So there you go.
I remember.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I was in Miami. With it, and we were so, and I still hear about that.
I know I was the idiot, but you know how much I wanted to see the storm, so I got back.
You were a storm chaser.
Feel badly. I was
and
in Miami.
I'm trying to run the opposite side of it, but that's the real story. Did you tell you how long ago the Bears were good?
Yeah,
they were in a Super Bowl.
I know,
and that's how far the mighty have fallen. That's why today, I couldn't miss today, because it represented the first day of practice for me. And, good clicks. It's not any – the pads. But, because you can't play the game. The game is played in full pads. I'm sorry to be such a Debbie Downer, but this is not flag. Tackle football. And to see today the crispness and the trash talking – in a constructive manner. They're not idiots, but Chase Young and John Allen, them going back and the offense barking back. And then I know a team is headed in the right direction when they work over how I beat you or how you beat me. And we discuss it after the drill. So they're helping each other. It's constructive and it's fun, but boy, it's intense. And I'm telling you, it just thrills my heart to see, because if we're not physical, we got no chance. We got no chance.
All right. Well,
but if we're physical, we got a chance.
Let's start with that. The talent on defense. You know, you've watched all of these teams over the years. Mm-hmm. This is the most talented defense we have seen in decades, right? In terms of the players and the ability. So what are you expecting from the defense, and what have you seen so far that is encouraging and then maybe something that, you know, you might be a little bit concerned about?
The only thing I can tell is that they're all in shape. And that's the only thing I'm looking for is conditioning, because I can see nothing in a walkthrough, a non-padded practice, when the play practice is scripted. I try to, and I don't want to kill people's joy, because it's always like I'm the Debbie Downer, because people want to live in a dream world and they want to come back and evaluate what they saw. You saw flag. The defense is told what to do and what not to do. The quarterback, you can't touch him. That's not how the game is played. So why would you fall in love with fake news? Because that's what it is. Only thing I care about is, are they in condition? Are they smart enough to not jump off sides? Do they appear to have been able to translate what was put on a blackboard and then what goes on the field? Because that takes an IQ. I played with some guys that weren't that bright. They have a very sharp, smart team that's in condition. They have a lot of large people. And eventually, if they can be as good as they're going to have to be, and I think they're capable of being on defense, this could be something we smile about.
You think the defense is well coached, don't you?
I think the defense is coached. And I was concerned with Harris leaving because he had such a presence on the field. He was like Bienemy on defense. But Jack, they're well schooled, and I'm a Jack guy because I believe that anybody that's upfront enough to let you know exactly where they stand and not let them affect how they feel either way is my kind of guy. So he's not pretentious. He's not fake. He's real. And I think the fellas have adapted to that.
Yeah.
Much in the way that they had adapted to Greg Williams when Greg Williams was here, when others would have, no, the players got it. All you got to do as a coach is get the respect of your players. They don't have to love you. They don't have to send your wife Christmas cards, but they got to respect you. And I feel that overwhelmingly on that defense. They're all on the same page. I like the fact that they don't run a cookie cutter defense, that they make you think about them in a way no one else has to think about that week. I think that's smart. I would do that if I was involved in football. I would do anything but be normal, and they're abnormal all the way across the board. And by that, five-man front, when you start talking about Buffalo, nickel, anything just other than 4-3 and 3-4, I love it. I love it because it's attention to detail, and most guys just aren't patient enough to figure things out. So, yeah, secondary to Kid Emmanuel is everything advertised that I can see playing flag. And now that they're playing football, I saw him today. He's the reason I was the first guy to practice. As soon as they ran that sweep, and again, I thought I was smart enough to know SEC equals ain't no sissies in it. And sure enough, he threw his body in there right off the top. And it wasn't even live. And I said, okay, he seeks contact. I'm done. I can leave now, close my book, and walk to the other side of the field. Everybody checks the boxes right now. I'm highly impressed and encouraged by the way they teach and the way they go through practice.
Tell me about what you're seeing with Chase Young this early in camp.
All he can show. I mean, today was the first day I paid any attention to him or any of them on defense. And he had a couple of good engagements, a couple of good moves. He's got to build his base, his repertoire, because nobody at this level are you going to run through every play or run around every play. You got to make them think. It's like pitchers. You can't just have a fastball, even if you're throwing 102 miles per hour. Because the big boys, that doesn't mean nothing to them. So I think he's working on it. If he's healthy, I don't worry about him. But I got to see it to believe it. Because the other guy on the other side is just absolutely terrifying.
You're talking about Sweat.
Kid wears 90. Yeah, look it up in your program.
Well, I didn't know if you were talking about who he was going against offensively, a tackle.
No, you're right to do that, but okay. Your listeners understand me. Trust me. We have a much better relationship than you and I do.
Okay.
Because your listeners,
well,
I love them. I love them to death.
Yeah.
And so he is, to me, the most terrifying person on the defense.
Love him.
Because his talent, to me, is completely unlimited. Now, I don't know if he'll reach it, but in terms of potential, that's the thing I focus on. Will he maximize his talent? Because if he does, then this defense is going to be historic. It's got a chance to earn a name like the Purple People Eaters, the Steel Curtain, the 85 Bears. We're talking about celebrated unit. That's how much talent they have. Now, I don't know if they'll hit it, but I do know that he's the freakiest, quick, twitchiest guy I can't figure out. Like, I don't know why he doesn't have, like, 18 to 20 sacks every season he plays. And
right.
I go, it's just a matter of, I guess, him learning it, buying into his coach, which he did last year a lot better. Now Chase is going to get Ryan Kerrigan and Coach Z, so it's the best he will have been coached at this level in his life, as a pro. Whether or not he'll listen, I have no idea. It doesn't bother me what he does, because the results will tell me. Because he won't beat these guys with the collegiate program. That ain't going to work. But if he develops and evolves, he's got everything else.
Tell me about the linebackers, Cody Barton in particular. What have you
Love
seen?
Him. Love him. Well, Cody's the kind of guy that's on all really good teams. You know, he's not a combine guy, but as soon as you like to put the pads on the day, he stands out like a sore thumb. He's a contact freak, He's athletic enough and got size, and he's going to be terror. He's a terror. Just like 47. You watch. This kid, you look at him and you'll think, as you've rumbled through your program, I love it.
No, I know who Kay Hudson is. Everybody's been talking about him, and I was going to make sure, because my audience and I have a really close relationship. And
yeah, it's
I
not
was,
as close you think it is.
I was going to mention that 47 was Khalik Hudson.
They would love to have me on more. But you won't do it. That's okay. Look.
I would love to have you on more.
No.
What they do realize is that I can't ask as much as I would like to ask.
Because I'm the filling guy.
You're very busy.
No,
you're not always available.
You're the filling guy.
It's tough to get you off the yacht.
Like I told you today.
Tough to get you off day in a Tiny's yacht.
When you called me today, you said, hey, Cooley can't. Can you feel? I said, absolutely.
I did not say Cooley can't.
Every day.
I didn't say that at all.
I know it's him. It's always him when something comes up. And I'm his backup.
You know,
okay, no problem.
A lot of people in the audience, an audience that I'm very familiar with and know very well, you're right. They do love when you're on. This is 100% true.
I love
they
when I'm
also,
on. You know why?
They also know how much I love having you on, and that you're not just a fill-in for a canceled
guest. I am a fill-in.
You're not.
I am.
You're not.
But that's okay. At least I'm on the team.
All right.
I'm on the team.
So Hudson.
I'm on the bench.
So Hudson looks good.
But I'm on the team.
Because Hudson last year looked good.
You know what Hudson is?
What?
Explode. He's kind of like a groundhog. He's coming. His stature is perfect for him. There's a guy going in the Hall of Fame that played with the Miami Dolphins, wore 54.
Bonaconi.
No, not Nick, but you're close. He's an undersized linebacker. He's just going in this year's class.
Oh, of course. The short guy from Miami. Him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
From the University of Miami, sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. He is, this dude has the best leverage. I've told you all the time. Hardest guy to fight is a guy smaller than you or undersized. Hate it. Give me the 6'5 guy, long arm. I don't care about that. The guy kills you if he's got natural leverage.
Zach Thomas.
There you go. Denton, congratulations, Denton. Denton's the best.
Denton's not producing this show. I looked it up real quick.
Denton produces everything you do. He's great. That's why your ratings are going through the roof because of that kid.
Okay, continue.
I love him.
So you love Khalik Hudson.
No, anyway. I love the way this guy tracks. Today was the first day with pads, and my God, man, they ran a lead with Robinson, who wears 8 for your Commanders.
Yeah, Brian.
Man, my God. Had he not been a teammate, he would. I mean, he loves contact. He feels, and now with 52's ridiculously stupid movie made in an automobile, I'm devastated by the fact that something that happened in March, I just got wind of it yesterday.
Yeah.
And that really disappoints
me. March of 2022, not even March of 2023.
Yeah, you're right, March 2022.
Yeah.
So then it passed me by, and he's got to pay the cost for being a knucklehead. But now it's going to cost him because this kid we got from Seattle and the Wolverine, they don't need anybody. All they need is a ball as – to play, and now they're running that nose tag at 5-man defensive line. So there may only be one of them out there at a time,
right?
You know, along with your safety. So it's an odd front. I really like it because it makes the offense think, and I think anytime they're thinking, you're winning, and they run to the ball. And it's how much will you push yourself? That's why I love Chase. Chase has an intangible, and it's an intangible that. Like that Dexter had. And the thing is that he's going to compete to win a drill. You know, he's going to compete to win a segment of whatever you're doing. He's talking trash the entire day. I mean, everything, he's challenging you. And guys like that, he prevents you from ever being flat. You're never going to be flat with a guy like that. It's amazing the energy he has. Which tells me he's in great condition. And now I just want to know who that guy is in our secondary. They have talent. They're highly skilled. But you know, I'm looking for that. And again, I've had one day. One day, that's it. It'll get better and better and better, and we've had no casualties, to my knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't lost anybody yet.
When they go,
yeah, because we need our depth. We need our depth.
When they go five-man front, is it Big Phil Mathis?
Well, you know, I would think that that's probably how it would be with Ridgeway today.
Okay.
But that could have been
Ridgeway
because Phil's coming off. Yeah, because Phil's coming off.
Yeah.
You know, listen, move injury.
Yep.
So I'm not as keen on personnel because I don't know. I don't think it'll matter as long as it'll be one or either. Or I'm good with both. I'm good with Bada. I'm good with Smith Williams. Oh, my, I love him. Two Hill, man, them guys, I say they get in a car jam in the middle of the night, call me. I'll come pick them up. Because they are so good that you will be able to allow your racehorses to catch their breath and not lose a lot. Believe me. Believe me. And so I like the unit. I like the room. I really do. And I didn't know what I was going to like Chris Harris not being out there because he was the vocal leader on the defense as a coach. But they've done that. They're communicating. And their staff is really connected defensively.
All right, let's get...
I'm telling you, you would love it. You would love watching how they
coach. I'm so excited about what they can be defensively. I really am.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I just, you know, the thing they need, we've talked about this for a while now, they need more takeaways. And putting a guy like Barton, who really anticipates well, can run, where the ball is.
Really
Forbes is a ball hawk. And you can, if you can get 99, that's Chase Young for those of you trying to follow along, into a havoc-wreaking, you know, pass rush situation, maybe they can start, you know, making it easier for the offense as well. The offense, though, I want to talk – yeah, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just saying, whenever you want to measure someone, like they talk Chase, they talk about all these people, I say, hey, I tell them, there's one guy. He's in Pittsburgh. When you get to that level, if you can do that for a quarter, call me because I'd love to see it. And I haven't seen anybody as
terrorizing. TJ Watt.
Yeah, it's Watt and the kid in San Francisco.
Bosa.
So there's another level out there that we haven't even begun to touch.
You're right.
So I don't want to hear none of that.
But
see, I don't listen to anything they say.
But Sweat and Chase Young have that ability, we just haven't seen it. We got to see Sweat and T.J. Watt and Von Miller. We got to see Myles Garrett out of them. And we haven't seen that yet, even though you would agree that they do have that ability, right? Chase Young does anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would say that Chase can do whatever he wants to do if he'll allow himself to be coached.
Yeah.
He hasn't convinced me that he will, so I don't know. The other kid, Sweat, I'm at a loss as to why he didn't have 15 sacks last year.
Right.
Like, I don't know what he's missing because everything else God gave him.
Well, what do you think is missing?
Well, it's hard. It's hard to figure out how a guy can be a tenth of a second off like 20 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't get close like just once. He's damn near about to decapitate the guy every time. But he doesn't get there. He doesn't finish in the nick of time, yet he's so close that you can't take your eyes off of it. So I haven't quite figured out. There's something that's probably not mechanical. It has nothing to do with actually athleticism. This is a mental thing for him, to me. And if he can overcome it or figure it out so that he can get the best out of himself, I think he's like Myles Garrett, closest to Myles Garrett would be, because he's a terror. You realize he's 6'6".
Right? Doc, I loved him in college. He had like 35 sacks in his 2 years, in his last 2 years at Mississippi State. He was the best player on the field for 2 years.
Now go say it. You're going to say, but.
You're right. He's gotten close.
That's my part.
And
he is so close. Tell you what. If you told me, hey, you can to have any one of the four, who you take? I don't even blink.
Man! If like right now, if you can have any one of the four, that's a
career. Their careers.
It's a really good. You mean they're for the rest of their career?
for the rest of their career.
Yeah.
Give me him.
I'll tell you what, 94 might. 94 is about to blow up into one of the best two or three players at that position.
Yeah, he is so physical and so athletic. He's got so much bounce.
Daron Payne.
John Allen. Allen, he just reminds me the more, because the best I've ever seen was play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And
Mean Joe.
What Mean Joe Green, that's what John can do. John, just physically manhandle a grown-ass man in front of him. I mean, he's got all the other intangibles. He's got the IQ. He's got the football savvy. He's downright ornery. He's got everything that is there, and all he's got to do is stay healthy. And that's hard. It's not easy because he's so physical. But in terms of freakish, that kid, 90, man, it's just you don't see it. Like Myles Garrett. What do you think of Myles Garrett?
No, just an absolute freak. Game wrecker.
Well, there you go. There you go. He's a game wrecker, and he can do it on demand. This kid can't do it on demand yet because he hadn't had the coaching up until last year. And that, so we'll see what happens. But I love them all, and I love Smith Williams and Two Hill and Rich. I mean, they've got stack. Now they got Baby Bama back. They've got 6-7 guys, so they don't have to kiss anybody behind to play. If you don't play, you're out.
I was just thinking about something, because when you mentioned Mean Joe Green. When you were in Cincinnati, did you play against Mean Joe Green and Greenwood and Dwight White and
Hammond
Lambert?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I don't think we've ever talked about that. You played against some of the great, maybe some of the greatest defensive teams in NFL history.
First of all, the reason we don't is because I'm never on the show.
Well, that's not true.
You don't talk to me if I'm not on the show.
Why do you do this?
You know,
We talk all the time.
You always do
this. You rarely get back to me when I reach out to you, and I'm thrilled when you do. Doc,
if the people knew how you treat me, you don't even pick up the phone.
How good were some of those Steeler defenses that you faced?
Oh, my God. L.C. Greenwood, second year, Monday night, first Monday night football game with Three River. And Vernon Suki was our right tackle. And Vernon Holland out of Tennessee State, first-round pick. And L.C. Greenwood, you know, first play you come out the huddle at a TV timeout. And he said some awful things to me. And he said that if I hit him below his knee, he said some more awful things that he was going to do to me. So we go back to the huddle, and Suki, with his nickname, Vernon, said, don't do it. Because I was about to say something stupid to match his stupidity. And I got back in the huddle, so he said, don't play that game with him. Just go right after his knee the first time you get a chance to. He said, don't talk about it, do it. And I learned that. It was like, because with them dudes, they were daring you to block them. And I had Donnie Shell, don't forget him.
Oh, yeah.
Strong safety, Donnie Shell, well, Wagner, Shell.
And you had
Let me
Blunt,
tell you something. Mel Blunt?
Yeah.
Mel, this is before they changed the rules. Mel would grab you and punch you. And you go, the Steelers, no, man, it was a rude awakening a Monday night, and you realize that Lambert had his teeth out. His middle teeth was all out. He was like Fang, like Dracula. And but seeing Mean Joe Green just completely pick a human being up like a sack of potatoes and slam them down on the head, they were the most violent group. And then you learned, I said, and then don't forget the Bears. Played against the 84 Bears.
Well, I know that.
The 84 Bears.
You played the 85 Bears is the game where they absolutely annihilated us 45-7, and Theismann had a punt of 1 yard. He punted it 1 yard.
But the bigger game was the 84.
The playoff game we lost at home.
They won at RFK. Lost at RFK.
Theismann got sacked 8
yards.
Times. Yeah,
we had 81 yards rushing the first quarter, and then when Ken got hurt, you lose one guy. We lost a guard,
Yeah.
And that was it. And it was Katie Bartador.
Hey, Doc.
And
how good was Ken Anderson? Do you think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I do believe Ken Anderson deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Bengals, if you recall, were an expansion club. And the great Paul Brown, who's one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. And when you think of, remember Isaac Curtis, Billy Brooks, we had Bob Trumpy. And this guy threw the hardest comebacks and outs I've ever seen a human being. He had a gun. If he was throwing baseball, I mean, he's hitting 101, 102 on the gun, like Burt Jones. Everything Burt Jones had and both Burt Jones could do, so could he, so could Ken. And then when you get to Super Bowls and you win as many games as he won, it's a shame that he's had to wait. Like, it's a shame that Joe Jacoby is not already in. And some of these things are hard to erase or replace because not everybody lives as long as they'd like to. So, yeah, I think he should. And I hope he does because it would be – just like Jake. I'm not saying it because he's a teammate. I'm telling you, I've heard men cry and groan and feel like they're being their hearts are being taken out of their bodies by getting hit by this guy. So I just think it's a shame that it's had to go on as long as it's gone on.
Right.
I do.
Let's get to your thoughts on the offense so far through training camp, and we'll do that right after these words from a few of our sponsors.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Doc is with us. I want your overall impressions of Sam Howell.
Athletic, big gun, smart, understands what he's good at and doesn't want to risk the other. And if the defense is as good as I hope they will be, it will give him that 6 weeks he needs to go around the block. And with the running back room, the only way he can fail is if they just had let free runners knock him out and gets no help up front like Carson Wentz had.
What about right now? Like, I had Ben today on the radio show, and Ben said, you can tell that the offense is a work in progress right now, which it should be. It's a new offense with a quarterback that has no starting experience. Are you seeing the same thing, that it's a major work in progress and they're nowhere near there yet?
No, I don't, because I'm not looking at it like anybody that did not actually play would look at it. No, I'm just being honest with you.
Right. Okay, so tell us how you would look at it. Yeah.
I look at it to where if I don't see offsides, if I don't see people that didn't look like they knew where they were supposed to be, I'm just testing their cerebral side of them now. With fatigue, you know, fatigue makes cowards out of all of us. So what I'm looking for are the fumbles, bad exchanges, guys going the wrong way, and that's what I don't see. When I grade a practice, it has nothing to do with what you see, because I know it's scripted. A lot of people look at practice, even the reporters, they don't realize it's scripted.
Right.
They know what they plan what they're going to do. Stop evaluating something as if it's a competitive event. It's not. It's an exercise. And nothing irritates me more, and I go, why am I getting upset about it? They just don't know any better. So I just shut up. I don't say nothing. They have cards.
Right.
So they orchestrate it so the defense can, the offense can win a segment, and the defense can win their portion of it. It's all staged. You might as well go out and watch. That's what I said. I wasn't trying to be a jackass. I was telling you the pickleball I saw the other night, pickleball league, was far more intriguing to me than watching their practices if they don't have pads on.
Right, pickleball's great.
If they don't have pads on, yeah, it's a waste of my time.
But you can evaluate, you know, skills and talent, which is we've talked about a little bit. So you like Sam Howell's talent and ability. What stands out the most? Because I think the arm strength that we saw, even in that one game, was pretty obvious. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. If Sam were a bus, then you would have known it against the Cowboys. He wouldn't have finished the second quarter. They'd have been saying, get him out. He went in against a playoff team. Mm, yeah. In against a playoff team. And beat him. And people are evaluating it. Well, is he ready? No, your question you should be saying is that, why the hell didn't he play last year more? But nobody does that. Everybody just wants to continue to beat the dead horse and evaluating him. Doesn't matter what round you drafted. Can he play? Yeah, hell yeah, he can play.
Okay.
And you're going to see it if they give him a chance. Now, is he going to lead them anywhere? That I'm not certain of. I need the defense to do the leading. But I guarantee you he'll pick up the slack. He's too gifted to. And their receivers are awesome. And the backfield, the running back room is awesome. The tight ends have got to prove to me that they're going to be more than show ponies, because I need to run the ball. And so all that, you know, grace is fine. But we need to run the ball to keep the ball in possessions. And that's why I'm hoping that Bates and Logan can stay strong as the other guys build up their stamina so they can, you know, compete at the line of scrimmage.
What about the offensive line?
Now, that's my biggest project, because it's not one position. It's five guys working as one. And that is going to be the biggest hurdle for the team. Because we can't – so that's why I need the defense to carry the team for September, and I need them to get 4 or 5 weeks under the belt, because it's five guys operating as one, and then as soon as you get going good, one guy will get nicked, and then all of a sudden you got to basically, you know, reshuffle the deck and keep going. It's the most complicated thing on a football team, the offensive line, but they've got a lot of people that look the part, you know, big, strong, aggressive. Now we'll find out if they can play. And Sadiq Charles is the number one guy that I'm watching. I like Cosme a lot at right guard. I like him at tackle. But we don't know. Here's the good news. They get to go up against a slaughterhouse unit.
Baltimore.
It couldn't be better for them. They're going up against our defensive front in practice, all nine of them. So you're getting quality work in every drill, every one-on-one. It's better. It's as good as a game because we have a high level. If our D-line stunk, we'd be in a world of trouble. But we're not going to get shocked now by the game because you're getting it throughout the week. So that's why I think they can hold up. And I like the coaches. I like everything about it. I just need to see it. And this is the first day we're ever in pads. And it gave me – I saw what I was hoping I would see. Nobody surrendered, you know, and no fist fights. I don't want a fist fight. I want football players. And they did that, even though they were taunting them. The defense was taunting them, but they didn't fall for the okey-doke. So it's a good-looking group, man. They're going to be junkyard dogs. I don't think you're going to get, you know, I don't think there's Russ Grimm in the group. But that's okay. As long as they work together like the Hogs, they got a chance.
At receiver, we both are big believers in Terry, and I'm a massive believer in Jahan as a guy that's going to scare defenses. Curtis will be a part of it. After that, tell me who you think will be on the field. Diami, Dax, Milne, Marcus Kemp, the guy they just brought in, Pringle. Who's next?
Yeah. I have no idea. I would say Diami, based on what I've seen them playing catch. But am I supposed to be impressed that pros play catch and they actually catch it? I don't get the alarm. I mean, they're professionals. They're playing catch. I can't evaluate them until I see them in a game. And the game tells me all I need to know. I can't say, oh, my God, that guy's great. Well, why didn't he great in the games? Well, he couldn't get him the ball. Okay, now that we got a guy that might be able to get him the ball, I should see more. Brown should be far more productive than he's shown. Well, we get a chance to see it. The other guys, I have no idea because they haven't seen them going up against a defense that knows that there's a threat or run. Practice is no threat or run. If our defense doesn't look like they could cover now, you should get rid of all of them. Practice is fake. It's not a game. It's an exercise.
All right.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Last one, because you haven't mentioned any of the pups yet.
No.
Other than Forbes, you talked about Forbes. Mm-hmm. So give me another player in his rookie year, undrafted free agent, drafted player that has really stood out to you so far. You're usually all over a couple of these guys at this point.
No. They put pads on the day for the first time.
Yeah.
Who about? Am I supposed to be excited about a receiver who can catch, who got drafted right, high?
So you don't have an answer
I don't understand
yet.
The question. No, none of them.
Okay.
I can't evaluate them until they're in a football game.
Okay. Well, we'll get
football practice.
We'll get back to you on that then in a couple of weeks
after they played one of those really important
preseason games.
I'm being a jerk. I'm not being a jerk. I'm telling you. Am I supposed to evaluate a supermodel because she's good looking? They're all good looking.
Well, I mean,
I don't know what the question is.
You evaluated Emmanuel Forbes.
Because he makes a lot of play. He's got
It's practice.
He runs.
I mean, they were in shorts and underwear.
Got 50 reps.
Yeah.
50 reps against receivers.
I was just asking, anybody else strike you like Emmanuel Forbes has since you evaluated that rookie?
No.
Okay.
No.
This incredible conversation was brought to you by the Doc Walker Winter Survival Kit, which includes lots of canned goods and blankets and hand warmers and bottled water and flashlights. And I don't know what else is in it, but
he makes fun of me as if I'm doing something wrong.
I'm so happy that he said yes today. And yes, I'll try to get him back more often. I mean, it's based on his availability because he's very, very important.
And, why do you lie to your people?
And he just got back from Tanya and Dan's boat recently.
Why do you lie to your people?
All right. This was great. I love you. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Good deal. Later.
The one and only, everybody, Richard Doc Walker. That is it for the day. Back tomorrow.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.